Political reporter Selena Zito was supposed to interview President Trump that day. She joins us now. Selena, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you witnessed the event in Butler and then ended up talking to the president about it several times over that next 24 hours.
Yes. So I was just a few feet from the president when it happened. I had just talked to him 4 minutes before he went out on the stage. So the next morning, he called me early in the morning and he says, "This is Donald Trump." And I'm thinking, of course it is. You sound just like him. And he says, "You know, Selena, I wanted to make sure that you're okay and your daughter Shannon is okay and your son-in-law Mike," because my daughter's a photojournalist, she was with me. And I said, and then he said, "I'm so sorry we didn't do that interview." And then I did something that's probably going to make my parents really unproud of me. And I swore like a truck driver and I said, "Are you freaking kidding me, Mr. President? You were just shot. I'm not worried about an interview at all." He would go on to call me a total of 7 times that day. These are phone conversations that largely centered around, why did I turn my head? Not meaning me, but him. You know, why did that chart go down? These are things I don't usually do. And the conclusion would always come back to God, and it would also always come back to purpose. And he believed, and he still does to this day, we just talked about it a couple weeks ago, that the hand was of God was present. But the other really important interview that we had that moment, and I think him doing this averted chaos in the stands, but and possibly in the country. He turns and does the iconic fight, fight, fight. But a lot of people think it's for, you know, they insert their reasons why they think he does it. But he told me, I asked him, and he told me, he said, "You know, Selena, in that moment, I was symbolic of the presidency, right? I represent what the president and everything that America stands for. That means the grit, the exceptionalism, then getting up when you get knocked down and always being resilient and standing strong. That's what presidents do. That's what America means." And he said, "I had an obligation to project that. There's going to be people that are in these stands that panic, and there's going to be people watching this that could be chaos in the streets." So that was my purpose in that moment. And I do believe you just saw the whole place change when he did that. And it also set the tone for the rest of this campaign. It is woven throughout the campaign about America being strong again. And it became the resounding theme of the campaign, but you also see it every day in his presidency, that sense of purpose, that belief that he was saved for a reason, and he does that with how he prosecutes his presidency, how he makes the decisions that he does.
Your new book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland, and a lot of it is your firsthand account of what you witnessed on that day. What was that day like for you, witnessing someone try to assassinate right in front of your eyes the 45th president of the United States, who went on to become the 47th?
Yeah, a man I had just talked to just a handful of minutes before that happened. You know, it's really interesting. Sometimes you hear when people go through traumatic events that they say that time stands still. For me, time seemed to be very layered. And my thinking at that time was, I need to duck. It was not that. It was, okay, I have a purpose here too. I have an ability to report. I have an ability to tell a story. I wasn't supposed to be standing there that day. I was supposed to be in the riser, but I wasn't for whatever reason. So I understood in that moment that I needed to do my job. And so I did. When the first shots went out, I didn't duck. When the second shots went out, I didn't duck. It was only until a campaign aide, Michelle Bachard III, literally took me down and covered me to protect me that I was on the ground.
Wow, Selena. I mean, it certainly is. I mean, that is an experience I'm sure you're going to remember for the rest of your life. And obviously, Donald Trump will remember it for the rest of his life. And we should also mention that a man did lose his life, Corey Cappatore, and certainly our thoughts and prayers to his family on this one-year anniversary for this horrific shooting. Selena Zito, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your time.
Greetings and blessings. Faithful followers of bbtemple.org worldwide. That was a Fox News interview with Selena Zito, a seasoned journalist, grandma, witness to history, and author of a new book entitled Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. At the risk of mixing politics and religion, not to mention kindling the wrath of Trump haters worldwide, there is simply no denying the miracle we all witnessed in Butler that day, and we'll investigate further in today's BBT Bible study entitled Fight, Fight, Fight. Oh, good and faithful people, the click, change that slide. And lo and behold, you will see a passage today. Ha ha, no fortune cookie Bible study today. No t-shirt theology, nope. We are going to read the entire passage together, you and I, shall we? Found in the book of 2 Corinthians 11th chapter verses 16 through 33, here from the NIV, which is the New International Version. And I'm going to just read it. Please, if you would, concentrate on it. Hear what the Lord has to say. Paul boasts about his sufferings. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whatever anyone else dares to boast, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? Am I out of my mind to talk like this? I am more. I have worked harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I faced daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Massenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Wow. So let's dig into that, shall we? Look, peeps, I get it. I am only too aware of the suffering in our midst. But what Paul is saying to us, put it into context. But how, you ask? How about we play a little game of context? Little game of context, are you? Excellent. So now is your time to shine, O bearer of the royal click. Click, please, if you would, for our application, life application today. Welcome. Gotta put on my game show voice. Welcome to So You Want to Be an Apostle, where we stack up your suffering against those of the Apostle Paul. Are you ready? 10 points each for every yes response. Question one. Have you ever been flogged? I mean with a horse whip. Yeah, with a horse whip. 40 lashes minus one. Anyone? Okay. Question two. Have you been beaten with rods? Not pool noodles. Steel rods. Anybody? Question three. Have you been pelted with stones? Yeah, I think we've all been pelted with stones. I think what they meant is stoned and left for dead by an angry mob. Anybody? Okay, but this is the NIV. Question four, anybody been shipwrecked? I know we've had some people go on cruises. Been shipwrecked? Anybody? Okay, last but not least, question five. Have you been overtaken by rivers? Now, a lot of people have experienced flooding in Texas very recently, and we do continue to pray for that situation. How about bandits? A lot of bandits still these days. Anybody? Okay, so how did you do? I'm thinking that you, like me, came up nada. And that's a point. That is the point. Oh, precious peeps. What I believe our awesome God is saying to us ever so gently, it's not about what happens to us. It's about our response to it. Speaking of response, one more question. What's the best revenge for suffering? In my humble opinion, I think President Donald J. Trump said it best without saying a single word. Fight, fight, fight. Fight, peeps, fight. Oh, newly appointed head of the Department of Clickery, please click away. And we shall wrap it up today with a profound factoid about Butler, PA, about this geographical location. Okay, he was in Butler. And it wasn't in Butler, PA, but it was in Butler County. 250 years ago, in Butler County, president-to-be George Washington dodged not a bullet, but a musket ball. Dodged a musket ball shot at him by an Indian guide who wanted him dead. Just like the assassin wanted Trump dead, but God had bigger plans. So here's our takeaway today, peeps. Oh, I love y'all so much. And I know they're suffering. But I want us to fight, fight, and fight, not to give up. Not to give up, but even in the midst, continue to give God all the glory. And I truly believe He will straighten out this hot mess in ways that we cannot even fathom. And we need to hang on to that, even in the darkest hour, even when the musket balls are flying. And I know they are. Hang on. Hang in there. And fight. 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 Amen.